Welcome to Own Your Edge with Dr. D, the podcast that guides you to becoming a bold, inspired, and redesigned thinker in business, work, and life. And now your host, Dr. D.
Welcome to Own Your Edge. I'm your host, Dr. D, and today we are moving to episode 3 of our series, Demystifying Assertiveness. This is a podcast series in which we'll cover any insights, tools, and strategies for you to claim your space as an originator. So where are we going to go in the next leg of this journey on assertiveness? Well, one area that tends to really be a topic for our discussion is how do we move forward and practice assertiveness? So episode 3 is all about a strategy for starting your assertive trend. Hence, episode 3 is titled 3 Questions to Create Assertiveness. In this episode, we are going to talk about 4 different things. The first one is stress-induced communication, just a relationship of stress and us. And this ties to why assertiveness is so important. 2, how you can start pre-framing using the 3 questions I'll share with you. 3, of course, what are the 3 questions? And 4 is post-framing to improve your process. Now, in this episode, I also want to share a few things that come up in the literature around what is called assertiveness or 4 types of assertiveness and kind of dispel and pull those apart and update those a little bit. Just in case you're reading about assertiveness and you hear about the 4 aspects or the 4 types of assertiveness, we just want to clarify that and bring it into more of a neuroscience technique to make it more powerful. So let's start this episode with the stress, what's happened in the workplace. In the show notes, you'll have some great resources, but really, if you research stress statistics, Gallup, Korn, all those industries that have studied stress, and especially 2020 and 2021, we see a huge trend. So just absorb these statistics. I love statistics just to show what's going on in our world and kind of give us a more leverage to explain why we really want to move into a more healthy originator style. Workplace statistics, just in general, 83% of US workers suffer from work-related stress. Now, in the other episode, we talked about that people also have family stress. But this episode, we're really going to talk about how assertiveness needs to be in the workplace and what's going on. U.S. businesses actually lose $300 billion yearly as a result of workplace stress. $300 billion from people being stressed and it changing their health or changing their productivity or decision-making. And so it causes 1 million workers to miss. 40% of US employees think their employers care about work-life balance, but of course, 57% believe they do not. More than 3/4 of all adults report stress that affect their health, their tiredness, and sleep problems. And this is from APA. And again, from the American Institute of Stress, 80% of US workers experience most of that stress on the job, as we said earlier. During 2019, Dynamic Signal did a research study, and they found that 80% of that workers' stress was related to company communication that was ineffective. So within that 80%, most of it had to do with how people were relating in the workplace. Now, isn't that interesting, right? Think about that. If 80% say that that stress is reported because poor communication practices by either their team members, their bosses, and it has increased, not decreased. It has increased by 30% from 2018 to 2019. Why we cover this is because this is what's happening in our workplace and in our lives, and we don't need to have that. We really want to think about our body and our biological responses to communication, start with the thought process. So your body, when it perceives someone or a conversation or a situation as a threat, it's a perceived threat. That's what I want you to get out of this. The coolest thing is you get to change this. When we perceive it as a threat, the body creates stress levels of hormones, cortisol. It also tenses the muscles and then it heightens your blood pressure. So you go into what we call fight, flight, or freeze response. And that's why people also may have headaches or tension, indigestion. All of it because, well, how or what way we look at people or the situation. So assertiveness, as we said in the episode before, is inner dialogue and outer dialogue consistently. Mastering assertiveness is that power of thinking about increasing your own belief in your ability to handle whatever comes your way. So that inner belief should be a mantra on your focus wheel, because when we believe at our core that you have the ability to handle what comes your way, but more importantly, you live in your highest intention to make things better wherever you are, and that you have the confidence and skill to keep improving to make that so. Living in the highest intention is what originators do. They ask themselves that quite a lot, is what is here that needs to improve so I am living in my highest intention? Dr. Sharon Gaylor wrote a book, Be Assertive. It's about being your authentic self. And that might be a good book for you to read too. But when we practice assertiveness, that she has studied this and there's other research, it enables us to apply strategies directly to a life to have four major outcomes. One is you're much more credible to people, which gives you more influential power. Second, according to Dr. Gaylor, it gives you freedom. So people that have practiced assertiveness, have practiced the strategies of assertiveness, have more freedom. They also have less stress. Well, think about it. If their belief in the world is, I can handle these things, not only that, I have the highest intention of setting boundaries for myself. I know how to navigate conversations and I make a difference. Think about how that keeps a person from not perceiving the world as a threat anymore. Instead, they perceive the world as a place they navigate. That's another good mantra as you think about your moving to more assertiveness. The fourth thing she says, it does create proactivity, which it would, right? So many people that suffer from stress, if they ask themselves, it's a fear of something, of one of their basic fears. One is financial security, rejection, embarrassment, loss. And so they become passive or aggressive or passive aggressive. And this is why it's important for us to practice assertiveness. Now, the first episode, we talked about the continuum of passive aggressiveness. Let me tell you a little bit about the dangers again of being a passive aggressive or either of those and how they can affect you. And just so you can understand more clearly how to move to assertiveness and to kind of assess where you're at right now. Are you on the passive? Are you a passive aggressive or mostly aggressive? But let me tell you briefly about a story of Bill Sanders. And Bill Sanders was a client a couple of years ago. And Bill Sanders came to me. And again, his name is changed to protect his anonymity. But his story is not unlike most clients that come to me. He came to me because he had just lost his job. He had the job for 3 years consistently in a very management style organization. And what he realized is he lost a job because throughout it, when he first started, he felt like he was valued. He felt like he had something to start with. And so the conversations about his role in the workplace was about getting better at whatever he was going to do. And that happens for most people. They get in a job and they're excited because they're learning new things. Once that's over, though, the communication was not effective in there. There wasn't transparency in his organization. So he started doing things just because of the money. So that's what he would say. I'm here because of the money, which is not a very powerful and proactive way to have an interaction with your job. What he realized, though, is his value was to be competent. But because he was not having conversations around assertiveness or having conversations in a certain way, he became very passive over the years. And so not speaking up when things could have been improved or not feeling like his voice was heard and giving up. And this happens to quite a lot of people. So then what happened is, in the last 7 or 8 months of the job, it was miserable for him. So he actually did what we call the passive aggressive technique, which he actually subconsciously started messing up in his position. So he started doing things incorrect, not checking for accuracy. And so it got to the point where the company actually let him go. After he came to me, he realized that he was not assertive. And so therefore, that was his way of getting out of the position. He didn't want to decline in competency, but he realized that he self-sabotaged that position because he felt like he could not share his ideas. He could not improve the system and therefore felt at a loss. what exacerbated that is that there was conversation, we call them water cooler conversations, that people would have about other people, which created a lack of rapport and camaraderie. And so this concept or this scenario is commonplace in some organizations. And it doesn't have to be. So what he went on to do is build his assertive trend and learn out what was his values to be authentic. He learned to start with these three questions we're going to share in a minute. And he started aligning himself with an assertive conversation style in the organization, the new organization he was hired for. And he's passionate about it. He loves it. He shares these ideas with his team members. And all of them are learning this practice of assertiveness, transparency, and triple loop learning. So being authentic is really a deep core of being assertive. And so when you're thinking of moving ahead in assertiveness, I'm going to share these three questions. I want you to think about you always pre-framing situations and get to know yourself, get to know the dialogue that's working in your head and change it so that the dialogue is always on the basis of these three questions. So the three questions to start moving toward an assertive manner is always to pre-frame a conversation or a situation with this. Question number one is, what is my highest intention to move forward? Another way to ask that is, what would I love to see or the most ideal moving forward? So that's question one. Question two, what is my highest intention for the other person or persons in the situation? What is one little thing I'd like to see for them? And question three is, what are possible mutual goals or values around this? And this could be a question around, who do we serve? We serve the same person, so bring that in. What's the value? We both value competency, so you can bring that in. But that third question, what is our mutual values and goals around this or who we serve? How does this work? Assertive communication is about building your confidence. It's believing in your ability that you can handle a conversation, even if it's telling yourself, I'm going to use these three questions before I start a conversation, and then use them in the conversation. We call it a reframe. And also just be very clear about the message you have. So when you start practicing assertiveness, make notes, just little quick bullet points of answering those three questions. So it becomes easier and easier to get the message across clearly. The third C, so we always have confidence, clarity, and consistency in assertive messages. Notice how you deliver in a calm, self-managed manner, right? The idea is if you do not perceive that interaction as a threat, your state will remain in a calm, compassionate way. So how do we use these? Before you start a conversation, as I said, write the three questions down. What would I like to see move forward? And if doubt rises up and you say, but that's never done, happened in the past, or that's never been done, or I can't do that because this, this, and this, that is critical thinking in a negative way. So that's your inner critic. What you are going to focus on is, I can move this forward. What would I like to move forward? And make that a bullet point. Maybe there's two things you'd like to move forward. That's fine. Then write it down. What I see moving forward is this. And start visualizing the conversation going that way. One thing assertive people do very well is they use what I call an NLP coaching VAC, right? They visualize what the optimal option is. They say it out loud to themselves or they write it down, right? Auditory. And then kinesthetic is they feel it, right? The K means I feel this. I really truly feel that something's going to move forward in a positive direction. And people will move forward in a positive direction that you want them to go as long as you believe that's the direction that is positive. They can sense that if you're very calm and collected and even bring that into my language. You know, as I have this conversation with you, Jill Smith, one thing I really would like to move forward is an actionable item by October. We had a great conversation, but I felt like we left some ends a little loose. So let's pull those together and let's get an action item forward. You see how that language is we call it pacing and leading. We're leading people to see the ideal too. So you can also bring in that second question then. Let's say you're having the same conversation with Joe Smith. You move right into, Well, my highest intention for you is that you really feel like you got your clear message across too, as we move to this action item. I know what's important for you, Jill Smith, is you value that our customers feel like they have all the information. And so I want to make sure we bring that as we move this forward. You see how I'm doing that? You're moving someone forward with that very calm, compassionate voice, and then be authentic about it. Figure out what is their highest intention too. What might be a value that's important to them? So be really curious about other people. And then how you would pull that conversation to using the third question is, let them speak and then see what comes up. And if there is resistance, right? Let's say Jill Smith says, well, there's more to that than this, or what, well, we also didn't talk about this. Then you bring in the third one and saying, that's important. That's an important piece. And since our mutual goal is to really serve our client and give them the information, let's go ahead and bring that in. I'm hearing that's important to you. And then it's important to this discussion. So we're moving people forward. What we're not doing is getting triggered because they have a difference of opinion. I expect people have a difference of opinion. But what most conversations forget is that more often than not, there's always a mutual goal and value. Always. There's not you're on this side and I'm on this side. I want you to erase that and think about you're navigating conversations with this mutual goal. You have mutual goals. If you're in the same space, you have mutual goals. You might have different ideas how to get to that goal, but how might you pull those together and enhance that? In fact, the more you use language about pulling this together, or let's enhance it by both of our ideas. What if we blend those ideas? I see an even more powerful impact. Or, well, in this one, it sounds like you have more information, so let's let you pull that forward and be okay with somebody else moving something forward. Assertiveness is not being right. It is about navigating to a better place, right? It's not about identifying or labeling a person. So using those three questions, we really want to think about how we can post-frame then also. So what my clients come to hear from me often is that even if the conversation is only moving a little bit, at least it's moving forward. But let's say you have that conversation, you wanted to see it move more. You did the pre-frame, asking yourself these three questions. You wrote some notes, and yet you felt resistance and you would like to improve it. Well, that's fine. That's awesome. But then do that in the post-frame. Now, a post frame is what you tell yourself afterward to encourage your brain to practice this again. So most people post frame in a way that is not very helpful. So most people post frame by saying that conversation did not go well, or I tried it and that did not work. Those are not post frames we're talking about. If you do that, yeah, you're going to stay in the same space. So what I want you to do every time you practice this is post frame in this way. I saw that we moved one item forward, or I saw a small difference and I appreciate that difference. You can post frame these three areas. One is, what did I learn to move forward? And write it down. What's a positive thing you learn? Two, what am I going to lean to in my next conversation around this? So you're moving yourself forward. You're not regretting the conversation. Say, so next time we have it, what am I going to lean to? What are some topics I might bring up? And three would be, what do I let go? What inner dialogue did I take on that I'm just going to let go? So post-framing is using three questions, different questions, but just as important. So just let me reiterate those one more time. In a post-frame, you're always asking, what did I learn? What did I need to, or will I need to lean into in the next conversation? And what do I let go? Whether it's something they said or something you internalized or something you said to yourself. These three questions, practicing them consistently and noticing the change leads into assertive practice. Remember, assertiveness is about you increasing your belief in your ability to handle situations, reducing the stress, improving the self-talk, and making it easier to navigate conversations to move to new ideas, shared outcomes, new productivity, and better decision-making. Play with this. Play with both the pre-frame and the post-frame. And until next time, we will see you in Own Your Edge podcast. This is Dr. D. Have freedom and have fun exploring assertiveness.
Thank you for listening to Own Your Edge with Dr. D. If you enjoyed today's show, make sure to check out the show notes for tools, strategies, and guest information. You can even download a chapter of Dr. D's book, Generous Authority, at ownyouredgepodcast.com. Stay tuned for the next episode.